up. Okay, better. And this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, things to live with. Hey, friends, if I were to mention a bunch of music groups, bands, what do you think they all have in common? Well, let's talk about, let's pick the Osmonds. How about the Dixie Chicks? The Van Halen. Yes. AC/DC. You get it yet, what they've all got in common? You might need to know. The Jackson 5. They all had it in common, too. Yes, these are all sibling bands. The Andrew Sisters, amazing group. The Jonas Brothers, Oasis, all siblings, the Beach Boys. They were all brothers and sisters. Not the Beach Boys, but they were all brothers. But and then there was Radiohead. There's the King of Leon. There's Creedence Clearwater Revival with all family. The Allman Band, the Allman Brothers, the Olsen Brothers, the Olsen Sisters. Amazing, amazing. Imagine what that's like. Imagine what it's like to grow up with brothers and sisters and to have music in common. It's like there's always a way you could talk to each other and always a reason to sit down, always a reason to harmonize, always a reason to work together. What a fabulous thing. What a great idea. I know families. I know the Dombra family, right? That's Stephanie Dombra's family. Her son plays music. Her daughter plays music. She plays music. Her brother plays music. Her sister plays music. Everybody plays music. And they're always getting together. They're a tight-knit family. Oh, what does that mean, tight-knit? Family. It means a family of parents and siblings. Siblings. What is a sibling? Well, siblings are people who share at least one parent. A male sibling is called a brother, as we all know. A female sibling is called a sister. In most societies throughout the world, siblings usually grow up together and spend a good deal of their childhood socializing with one another. This genetic and physical closeness may be marked by the development of very strong emotional bonds, such as love or enmity. The emotional bond between siblings is often complicated and is influenced by factors, such as the parental treatment, the birth order, illnesses. They could all affect you. If your parents are screwy, the kids sometimes bond together, and sometimes they just target each other. There are different types of siblings. A full sibling, that's easy. That's a regular brother or sister. Where you get, you share 50% of the DNA. You see, that's the good thing about it. You both have the same parents. You need a DNA infusion. You have leukemia and you got to get something. Boy, brothers and sisters are your best choice. Then there's a step-sibling, also called a stepbrother or a stepsister. And that's in which one of the parents, the child has a parent who has another child from a different relationship. So you two maybe have the same mother, but different fathers. Or you two maybe have the same father, but different mothers. Those are step-siblings. A half-sibling shares the same mother, but different fathers. But one who shares fathers, but not the same mother, is called a uterine sibling. I'll bet that's one you never heard. No. The uterine sibling is where you have the same mother. Refers to the uterus. Right? You and your sister, but different fathers, uterine have sisters. But if you have the same father, it's known as an agnate, A-G-N-A-T-E, sibling. That's two people with the same father with different mothers. That's easy enough. Dad goes, takes the kids with him. Mom says, I'm going to the party. Leave me out of here. Or mom dies. All right? And dad has one kid and then has another kid. They're agnate siblings, and in law, the term consanguine is used in place of this thing because there are certain privileges of law and inheritance that go to full siblings that half siblings don't get. Very odd thing. The distinction becomes important. There's a three-quarter sibling. I'll bet you never heard of that. Are you trying to figure it out? I'm looking at Lauren. You got that figured out, Lauren? You know what a three-quarter sibling is? No idea, right? It's a sibling with one shared parent, while the other two parents are full siblings. For example, if a man sires children with two sisters, you see? So if a man has a baby with one sister, then he has a baby with another sister. Now, in certain religions, this is allowed. Man could have many wives, and they could be sisters. Those are three-quarter siblings. It's better than a half-sibling. It's a three-quarter sibling. The term is, they use it mostly in animal breeding nowadays, but the relationship between Queen Elizabeth of England, the daughter of Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, and Henry Carey and Catherine Carey, the children of Mary Boleyn and possibly King Henry VIII himself. Three-quarter siblings. Then there's milk siblings. I'll bet you could figure that one out. That kind of makes sense. A milk sibling are brothers or sisters who are breastfed by a woman other than their biological mother, a practice known as wet nursing. And once widespread, in Islam, those who are fed in this way become siblings to the biological children of their wet nurse, providing that they are less than 2 years old. So the wet nurse who is breastfeeding the two children, they become children to her, according to Islam law. The relationship with these specific people have very specific things. They are not allowed to marry. If you have two people breastfed on the same woman, you're not allowed to marry. A god sibling is determined when one child is a godchild of another child's parents, and it gets confusing. And then there's a god, half godchild, quarter godchild. And there are foster siblings. And foster siblings, I'm sure you can figure out. Well, you have a foster parent who's got a few different kids. Well, you know, it's a funny thing about all this sibling stuff. Let me tell you about some of the interesting stuff. The Westermarck effect. You never heard of the Westermarck effect. The Westermarck effect has to do with when two people share an early childhood, right? They share a childhood. And something seems to be built in where Westermarck found that children who are brought up together as siblings are desensitized to form sexual attraction to each other later in life. So it's kind of interesting. If you're brought up together, Something chemically takes place so that when you mature and when you become of age to have sex, you're not jumping on each other. It's like, it's my brother, it's my sister, I can't have sex with them. That's the Westerling effect, the Westermark effect. That's what it's believed that. Of course, we know of times that that's not true. But mostly, it's an automatic. It's not that it's unnatural, it's not that it's wrong, it's that it's genetically, practically predetermined. The way our race survived is to make sure that the brothers and sisters didn't do that with each other, that they didn't wind up having sex with each other. But now, here's a very interesting thing. There's an opposite phenomenon, which is genetic sexual attraction. This is occurs between siblings who are brought up apart from each other. Now, they're brought up apart from each other, so they're not in the same physical presence. So they find themselves not having the advantage that they would have developed if they were brought up together. The advantage would be there would be a genetic turning where you would feel like, you know, you would feel like kind of an aversion to your brother or sister sexually. But the opposite takes true with this opposite effect when relatives, when people who are brought up differently or separately meet each other, they fall in love with each other. And they feel this tremendous sexual attraction. So something must happen genetically when you're living with your brother and sister that kind of separates you from your brother and sister physically. But when you're not living together, that thing doesn't take place. And therefore, when you get together with them, something different happens. Now, this may also happen between parent and child. And I've often seen where a child, suddenly a young woman, grows up separate from her father, reunites with her father, and her father has sexual ideas about her. How is that happening? How could that be? It seems so unnatural in so many ways. But if you're not in the same proximity, that thing doesn't kick in. That chemical doesn't kick in that says hands off. It's the opposite. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. I want to take your calls today, and I want you to talk to me about your relationship with your siblings. We've learned a lot about relationships with siblings. We've learned in a recent article in the New York Times, it talked about people who have sisters within 5 years of their lives tend to be happier than people who don't have sisters. Sisters who have sisters are even better off than brothers who have sisters. Because brothers very often don't talk to their sisters, but sisters do talk to each other. Now, does this mean that if somehow there is a serotonin raising that takes place, you know, let's go back a little bit back in chemistry. We know the following, in case you're confused, by the way, this is Armand DeMille here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you something to think about, and I wanted you to think about your siblings or lack thereof. But let's go back for this idea here. Women have periods. They have menstrual cycles. During that menstrual cycle, they tend to lose serotonin. Serotonin is flexible. It kind of goes away real fast. You get enough serotonin, you feel good. You get bad serotonin, you get low in serotonin, you feel bad. The antidepressant drugs that they sell nowadays are called SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. In other words, they help you increase your serotonin. They actually help you not lose it. Because when a woman loses her serotonin, she's got to replace it, but it's more difficult. A man loses his serotonin, and it's replaced immediately because of his muscle mass. So serotonin is a key item here. And one of the things we found is that when women talk to other women and speak with other women, they increase their serotonin levels, and it feels good. So you could be a man who's listening to his wife on a phone, talking to her sister, and said, what are they doing on the phone talking for so long? They talk every day for 22 minutes. It takes about 22 minutes to raise the serotonin. That's why when you get your hands done, your nails done, or if you're really lucky, you get your feet done, you know, you get a pedicure, that half hour of conversation that has no meaning whatsoever does things, plus the affection, plus the touching, plus the massage, all raises your serotonin levels. It makes a person feel alive, sexy, vibrant. They know that. That's why we have nail salons. You know, because somebody picked up on that. Hey, people like this. We have a plug yourself in. You know, they're thinking about a model car where you plug it into, you go to these different stations and you plug in your car to recharge your battery. Well, that's what nail salons are. It's where you plug in your nails to get recharged with serotonin because you walk out feeling better after you get your nails done. I know it sounds silly, but it's all serotonin. If you have sisters, you get more chance of having your serotonin raised. Now, on the other hand, if you don't have sisters, you've got to create sisters. That's what you do at work. That's what gossip is. Gossip is an attempt to create sisters through a casual conversation about something that really has no meaning whatsoever. So you talk to each other and you say, did you know, it's really the clock is ticking. If you ever saw a lawyer's clock, lawyers have these clocks, they're like chess clocks. They get on the phone with you, boom, they hit the button, the timer goes off, and they charge you by the minute of phone call that they're having with you. Well, it's kind of like that with serotonin, too. You need minutes of serotonin, minutes of accumulating serotonin. You get enough minutes in, you feel better. It's like being on the treadmill. It's like working out in a gym. It's like all the other things that we do that are passive things, like massage, like everything else. It's give me 22 minutes. It's like psychotherapy. Most of the psychotherapy that takes place in the world is a chance for you to talk for 22 minutes. You know, you have the average 50-minute session. You got to say hello. You got to ask things. You got to look around. You casual conversation. But then you talk for 22 minutes at least. And you walk out feeling better. And it almost doesn't matter what you said. You know, it's just a way of plugging yourself in. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. There are people I know in California who work with PMS, if there's severe PMS, or if there is severe menopausal syndrome, what they do is they put these people in a sweat lodge. Now, I know there's been some bad press about sweat lodges recently. Somebody was doing it in Sedona, Arizona, and a few people died in the sweat lodge. I think they oversweated or they pushed it too far. But the idea is let's put a group of women together, and if they perspire together, if they sit together, now what happens when you perspire? The pheromones are released. Your sweat glands carry pheromones, and that carries messengers that go into the nose of other people. So you get close to people just by sweating next to them. You know, two people in a close room, you know, you're sharing something. I know. Women's groups, terrific things. Women having a group. They talk to each other in the group, psychotherapy groups, fabulous stuff. But now let's talk about AA, you know, and NA, and all these other groups that are supposed to help people who are having trouble with alcohol or drugs. A big piece of it is that you're hanging out and you're talking with other people. It's family. Yep, family. We need that. We need it to help plug ourselves in. We're the electric car, and we got to get ourselves with our chemistry risen, and we need each other for that. The people I know who are the most isolated, the most alone in this world, they get depressed because they don't have anybody to recharge with. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, 212-209-2900. Taking your calls as much as we can over the next few times because this is precious stuff. Because, you know, WBAI is a family. Yep, it's a family of people who run the family and who decide what they think is best for this family, and maybe they're right. Very often they've been wrong. They've taken directions that weren't the right directions, but they tried it. So it's change, and there's going to be some change taking place here at WBAI, some of which you may agree with, some of which you may not agree with, but it's an attempt on the part of whoever is in charge now to say, try it this way, and let's see what happens. But they value us and the positive mind, and they're keeping us around here, even though on a little shorter basis. We'll have a day that we won't be here anymore on Thursdays, but we'll be here on Tuesdays and most Wednesdays. And we'll keep bringing you exciting stuff. But what I do want to hear from you is not, I don't want to hear about the responses to that yet, but I do want to hear from you about you and your families, you and your brothers, you and your sisters, because one of the things about being on this program with you today is you realize to many of you, I am family. And to many of me, it's a good question. To me, you are family to me. And the station is family. And the people are family. And Michael G. Haskins is my brother. And so is Tony Bates. And so are, you know, all the other people at the station. I'm related to all of them. In some way, I feel connected. So I'm connected to all of you, and you're connected to us. And this is like a family thing that we do every day, even though it sounds like we're talking about science. What you're doing is you're getting a chance to raise your chemistry, however your chemistry get raises, by listening to something that you enjoy. You know, you remember this old song, I Just Can't Resist It. Lauren brought this to my attention. Isn't that something? Sister Sledge. Hey, 212-209-2900. Make your calls right now. We'll start taking your calls, then we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back and take more
Ready.
Calls. Hi there. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hello. I have a younger sister. She's 2 years younger than me. And I never felt recharged with her. I always wanted her to get away from me. And I work with a lot of women, and they don't seem, I don't feel there's a connection. There's always, whenever I'm with women, there's competitiveness.
All right, now let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Are you daddy's favorite?
No.
Who was your father's favorite person?
My sister.
Your sister. How did you feel about that?
Jealous, of course.
Not jealous, of course, but you felt jealous, right?
Yes.
Why did he like her better than you?
Well, even though she was born with a cleft palate, I don't know why.
Turn your radio off, please.
Turn your radio off, would you?
Sure. I don't know why he liked her. I reminded him of one of his sisters who he didn't like.
Oh, now there's a very interesting thing, don't you think? Well, that's a curse, you know? That's a thing to get stuck with. So therefore, you really hated your sister on
right.
some level. On some mm-hmm. level, right? And hating her, I mean, you could really wish her well. I know a woman. I know this is going to be a terrible thing to admit on the air, but I have to say it. She was a woman who I knew. She wasn't a client, but she said to me, in revenge for something like this, what she used to do is she used to take her sister's dolls and she would pee on them and never tell her sister.
I used to destroy my sister's toys. I was very vicious to my sister.
Yeah, so you're in the drama. You're in the drama. So you never settled a piece about you and your dad. You see, in a funny way, by you staying alienated, by you staying this way with your sisters, it's your way of holding on to whatever relationship you have with your dad. When you get to the point where you finally give him up And I mean give him up, because any man who would treat a daughter like she was a sister that he couldn't like very much and show clear favoritism to another daughter, he's got to know the pain that that causes. So he's probably not the best dad to elect.
Well, he died.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't help you at all, because your feelings didn't die with him.
Right.
You know, so you're still acting him out around town with all these women who you think are feeling a certain way about you. You know, you think they don't like you, but it's really a matter of you're still carrying the same burden. You should probably throw a party.
Oh, really? What kind of party?
A party with some excuse to invite all the girls from the office to your office, to your home, and to just give, one day just give to them. Invite them all over, and they'll think you're weird, and they'll say, I wonder why, but I'm going to go. And just show them a nice time, and don't tell them why. Just say, because I'm celebrating being alive or something. And just, in other words, to find some way, or take them all out and say, I'm buying drinks tonight. Who wants to go?
Well, I meet with a woman, casual friend, on every Sunday. We meet somewhere.
It's a nice thing. Have you ever been in therapy?
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't sound very successful either.
No.
With a woman?
Yes.
Yeah. Difficult for you with women, you know? It's like, oh, it's a tough war, and I'm sorry to say it, but you know, you're proving my point here, that a relationship with a sibling can set the road down, you know, can really set the path for misery, and I don't want you to have this misery. I want you to be able to get past this at some point in your life. So your precious friend that you meet with, that's great. But somehow, if you could force yourself to go to AA meetings or go to Al-Anon meetings or go to any kind of meetings where you could hang out with people and just hang out and don't judge and see what it's like to accept the sisterly love that's available in this world, it is available.
Because I try to, when I was younger, I try to latch on to older women and for them to be like an older sister or mother, and it never worked.
Yeah, and that's because you were latching onto them. Because it makes them feel like a door. You know what I mean? Yeah, it has to be a different thing. It has to be a more equal relationship. Listen, if you want, I know some wonderful therapists who might be able to help you with this. But, you know, I also believe you could do it on your own.
Okay, I would like to take their name and number, if you don't mind.
Sure, well, you get in touch with me through an email. Just go to thepositivemind.com, send me an email, and I'll try to direct you.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. What's your name?
Amanda.
Amanda?
Yes.
Like Armand.
Yes.
You must be a female me.
Maybe.
You know, Armand and Amanda, so I'll bet you listen to the radio. Have you listened a lot?
Not too much.
I'm going to change my name to Amanda. This is Amanda DeMille. Sounds not bad at all.
Well, how come other women who have formed relationships with other women and it works? And how come with me it doesn't work?
Because they didn't have a father who hated them.
Oh. I see.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a short break, my friends. How painful. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. Be right back. Accentuate the positive. That's Bud Shank you're listening to. accentuate the positive. You got to accentuate the positive, decentuate the negative. And don't get stuck with Mr. In Between. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about brothers and sisters. And we're taking your calls at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Siblings. You know, I didn't talk about sibling ordinal positioning. And I've done quite a bit of work on this. If you look on my website, you'll find in the archives programs about ordinal, it's O-R-D-I-N-A-L, positioning, or birth order positioning. What it means is if you're an older child, you have a certain position in your family, you get a certain tendency to get a certain effect. If you're in a middle child, if you're a younger child, so on and so forth, older brother, younger brother, older sister, younger sister, all very determines a lot of attitude. But the bottom line of it is family. 212-209-2900, an important thing now because even though we start off with Halloween, this kicks off the season where the presence of family and the absence of family becomes accentuated. And the relationship between family members. Are you connected? Are you not connected? Are you negatively connected? You never want to see them again? Are they so brutal? 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Good.
I have a question, two questions actually. This is a two-part question. The first, is there an equivalent paraphrase for a male in serotonin, number one? And the second one is, I was adopted, and how would that impact that kind of scenario?
Well, which kind of scenario?
Which would be the serotonin levels of the relationship between me and my adopted parents.
Well, the serotonin levels are present for men as well as women, and some men don't retain it as well. But it's not the only thing that makes you feel good, because there's also dopamine and a number of other things that work as well. So it's good, worthy of investigation. Worthy of looking into, there's a new book, which is called The Male Brain, which talks about the male chemistry in such a way that it gives a lot of new information about some of the stuff that runs around up there. Luann Brizentine is her name. We did a report on it recently. So that's one. Now, as a stepchild, what's it like? As an adopted child, how is it different? In what way? What part do you think makes you different?
Well, I guess the biological attachment is obviously different. So it comes down to a question, really, is it neutered or is it by nature the difference? And I guess that's what I'm trying to get.
Do you feel a difference? Do you feel alienated from your parents?
You know, my adopted parents, I don't. I feel very, very close to them. I feel somewhat alienated to my paternal parents because of proximity. You know, we never really engage in a meaningful conversation or any conversation whatsoever.
Have you ever been with them? You've talked to them somewhat?
I've corresponded by letters only to one of my parents, but outside of that, no, I haven't.
Yeah, it's very hard because there was no bond all along. I'm sure if you've met with them and talked with them, you'd feel some kind of genetic thing going on inside you, but you might just as easily feel very angry with them as well, you know?
I mean, Well, it was funny to a point. I did have a letter correspondence with my mother many, many years ago. And what was absolutely fascinating was through reading her correspondence and her choice of words and the way she was describing things, I felt very, very emotionally attached. Now, I don't know what was going on in my mind or my feelings, but the actual words, the semantics and the syntax really created a magnet towards this particular woman. And I couldn't believe it could be done through the written word.
Well, did you ever go and see her?
Well, you know, she has passed away subsequently, but it was one of the things in my life, one of the benchmarks in my life that really brought home that there is an attachment. I couldn't fathom what that attachment was.
Well, what about your relationships with women? What are they like?
Good. I have two daughters, and I have stepsisters, numerous. They're very good. Even my stepsisters, I get on very, very well with them.
You mentioned that you have two daughters, but you didn't mention you had a wife.
Oh, I do have a wife, yes.
Yeah, you just didn't happen to mention it, which to me has significance. It
well,
means that you didn't have the kind of bond with your wife that you felt towards your mother, that there, you may have had a relationship with your wife, may have had children with your wife, but you don't really feel that close to her, is what I suspect by the fact that you left her name out.
No, that's quite accurate, because recently, because of circumstances, we're separated.
Ah, okay.
So that kind of wasn't even a factor in my answering your question.
Well, it is a factor, of course. And what it says is that there's a man who is looking to bond with somebody who really is kind of, there's a nurturing that you're looking for. There's a child in you who is begging to be connected in a certain kind of way. And now that you have children and now that you have these other parents, you kind of almost given up on it, but it sounds like you still yearn. That's what
I think by nature, as human beings, we yearn for that community of family.
I'm not talking about as human beings. I'm talking about you.
Oh, me? Oh, personally?
Yeah, you
well,
personally.
I agree.
So since you're separated from your wife, have you looked on to other relationships?
You know, I have. I've decided to take a different route because I'm a painter and an artist, so I'm somewhat selfish.
So you're only dating people you paint?
Wait,
yes, what's your different route?
You know, bowls of fruit, etc.
I'm going to date you.
I haven't got over that bell curve yet, Armin, but I feel a sense that will be something inevitable for me in the future. But I'm just getting above the swimming pool to get onto the lifesaver, right?
I hear you. That's what I hear. That's what I hear. And it's really beautiful when you do it. But wait, great that you could recognize yourself being at the bottom of the swimming pool, reaching up for the raft, you know?
Well, perfect. We do what we can do, right, Armin?
You do what you can, my friend. You do. You sound like a brave man. And
thank
I hope
you,
somewhere in your life you find that one hug, that one embrace that feels like you've come home.
Well, I certainly won't find it in the museum, so I've got to go out into the world and engage in the flesh. I think that's probably
it. It might be somebody who's visiting the museum. You just might not. Don't do it indiscriminately, though. You'll probably get arrested.
Thank you, sir, for your kind input. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
212-209-2900. Looking for the right bowl of fruit. You know, not a bad way to define your search. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I don't know if my situation covers what you're... It's sort of like on the fringe. I'm a parallel cousin.
And, you're a what kind of cousin?
Parallel.
Parallel cousin. Describe that to me. What's a parallel cousin?
That's my father's brother married mother's sister. And we offsprings, the two eldest on both sides call each other brothers and sisters. My brother and I call my two cousins sisters. And we were close. We grew up close. We're my brother and I in the Bronx. My sister's in Brooklyn. And we are brothers and sisters. And there's really three on each side, two younger brothers on both sides who are cousins to each other and to us.
It's not going to make any sense to most of the people listening because they're sure they can't follow it. But let's get back to what you were talking about. So what about it? What about being a parallel cousin?
I think that whole... attraction to sisters may have happened when we were very young kids and just exploring. And I, for one, found my sisters attractive. But as we grew older, we are really brothers. It's really brother and sisters. I'm the eldest in the ranking, and my girlfriend, who is like, with my father married my mother, who is 13 years his junior, and my current girlfriend is 14 years my junior. And she reminds me a lot of my mother. Not that I'm looking for a mother, but
Well, what's the, I mean, the idea of looking for a mother and what's that like? I mean, so what? What if you loved your mother?
So what? Yeah. Well, in fact, you know, it's like she reminds me a lot of my mother.
I know. I hear that.
Yeah, and I love her. And just to be short and not prolong the pain, this morning, I entered a room that she was in, and she made a noise or a sound like a cooing noise, as I've experienced young nieces make that sound towards me when I enter the room. I mean, it's like a affection, really love, happy to see you.
And made you feel great.
It's in my ear now.
Yeah.
It's really something.
Well, that's really great. I'm great to hear that.
Thank you. I just wanted to get some insight with the Parallel Cousins, and I want to visit your website to get more about the ranking and all the other good information I know is there.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is very interesting because he reminds me of something. We're going to take another call in just a second, but not before we make a comment about the cooing of those pigeons. Will you hear this? Oh, then stay with me a second, friends.
Juran que el mismo cielo se estremecía al oír su llanto. Como sufrió por ella, ya está en su muerte, la fue llamando. Ay, 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 ay.
Related to the doves and the birds that are in the sing song, and they're making that coo-coo-roo, coo-roo sound, which maybe I'll play for you before the end of the show. He reminded me of it, and I remembered that that was one of the most beautiful voices I ever heard, Nancy Ames, who was Spanish. 212-209-2900, talking about brothers and sisters and the precious cuckoo of people when they're in love. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hi, Armand.
Hi, could you turn your radio off?
The radio's not on.
What is that noise?
Turns out that I teach at a school, and I'm going to get ready to teach in 20 minutes.
All right, well, you're here.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I think it's really weird that I just don't get along with females. I'm 27, the youngest of two boys, grew up with both parents, and I think I'm too much of a tomboy, I guess. I do have girly qualities, but I just really don't get along with most females. I do get along with older women. Like,
well, let's talk about this. Were you close to your father?
Yeah. Exactly.
Very close, right? Closer than anybody else?
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's it, right there. And what did your sisters feel about your closeness to your father?
I don't have any sisters.
No sisters. How did your mother feel about it?
She didn't say much about it.
But do you think she might have been jealous?
I never thought about that.
You see, here's the thing that happens. When a little girl becomes triangulated between her father and her mother. Very often, she gets a feeling that Mom is secretly angry at her. She feels alienated from Mom, and as a result of it, what happens is she goes around the rest of her life waiting for women to get revenge on her. And the revenge, she always perceives it as jealousy. She says, women are jealous of me. Women are jealous of me, you know, and therefore they can't form the relationships. So it's great that you could identify your inability to make the relationship with women. It's great that you can see it. But it probably goes back to the early childhood bond.
Oh, I mean, I do make an effort, and it usually starts off great, but it usually ends with them upset for some reason, and they don't talk about it, and then that was like 5 years down the drain.
So then you've got to go. You got to go to some groups. Have some groups of some kind where you can maintain a different kind of bond. You know? That would be what would be helpful to you, or see a therapist who you could trust. To dig into some of the past. It's very hard to hear you because of the noise.
No, we can't do it.
Yeah, we can't continue. I'm sorry. You know what it sounded like? It sounded like that thing the guy was talking about yesterday in the basement at
Outer Space.
Port Authority. You know, he said in the basement of Port Authority, after 12 o'clock, everybody shoveled downstairs. And he said, it's like from outer space. 212-209-2900. Sorry, let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Tony Thomas.
Hi there, Thomas.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of four brothers. I have three older brothers and no sisters at all. And I always went for, like, Russian girls, like Italian girls, you know, because I'm white, like them. And, I, you know, like the other girls, like maybe the colored girls, the black girls, or the Latina girls, I feel like they're not part of my family, you know. And she just moved on me, upstate New York, and I feel like she's very beautiful looking, like Molly Ringwald. You know, just my type. And I want to know, you know, what should I do?
Yeah, what should you do is a question. Well, it seems to me that you're being attracted to types. And types are very important to me. It's not really the person that you're relating to, but the type of person you're relating to. And this type idea becomes very important because it means it represents something to you. Something to you and your family. What's the type of person? Now, this person, she just moved out of town. Are you brokenhearted?
Yeah, I'm really brokenhearted. I've been with her for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And she kept moving from place to place. And she goes to the post office nearby. And she doesn't stop by my house, my apartment building. And she doesn't want to say, you know, she's breaking up with me. You know, I mean, I was trying to find a job and stuff like that, but I've got an aggravated harassment charge. So it's a lot more difficult. I'm 47. These people are like 20 years old, so they get the
Why
job.
Why did you get an aggravated harassment charge against her for perceiving, for going after her, or why'd you get that charge?
I wanted to get a job credential insurance in Howard Beach.
Yeah.
And I got really angry with this girl, Donna. And she blew it out of proportion. She said, oh, he said this, he said that. I was going to go up the building. I didn't say any of that.
Yeah. So you've got a temper that is kind of buried down there that you don't know when it's going to explode. You know, and that comes out and then people duck you because they become afraid of you. So, you know, it just means that you're very alone in this world and you feel very isolated. With all the brothers you have, somehow you feel like this world is a very tough place to live in. So it's very hard. It's very hard to determine what to do. And I just, you know, your lesson in life is going to be that when something wants to leave, to let it leave. Instead of holding on to it with desperation. That's going to be your lesson. When you get free of trying to hold on with desperation, then you're going to be freer in your spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish I could advise you differently, but if you got an aggravated harassment against you, plus the girlfriend is avoiding you, plus moving out of state, plus you feel as lonely as you do, I would say it's time to let go. Just let go. And and I would say to go to any of these AA meetings and just hang out and see what it's like being around people who always have to deal with that issue of letting go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let it go, yeah.
Well,
I tried with an Italian girl like 10 years ago, and,
yeah, I know.
You know, she left. You know, I like pale skin because I'm pale skin. I feel comfortable.
I think before we go further, we're talking about races. What you should do is listen to my advice about going to a meeting where everybody's there and get comfortable with everybody. That's the first step. Hey, I got to be going soon. I got to take one more call.
All right, take care, Mom.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
212-209-2900. Sometimes there's a lot to deal with. Hey, let's take one more call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. One more call, Michael. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
You know, I grew up in a house with all boys. Two of them were my brothers, and two of them were my cousins, because my mother and her sister, which is my aunt, always lived together. And for a long time, you know, I always hung around with boys. It wasn't until we moved and I became acquainted with my cousin, who was a female, that I actually knew that there was another side.
And then you learned. I'll bet you have a lot of close friends now.
I have most of my friends are women.
Ah, that's really great. That's a great lesson for us, you know, to close the show on. I mean, I'm sorry we don't have the time, but that's a beautiful lesson. That it's really something to go out and find out, because you really got to find your sisters out there, wherever they are. And I thank you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Let me leave you with the rest of this Kukuru Kuru song. And I'll be back with you today's Wednesday. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Keep listening.
Juran que esa paloma no es otra cosa más que su alma, que todavía la espera a que regrese la desdichada. Cucurru, cucú,
I'm Hal Linden, TV. 202-209.